So I'm going to be shifting gears a little bit and talking less about the programmatic aspect of reproductive health and more about some of the research, particularly behind this idea of sexual relationship power that Debbie frequently mentioned in her presentation. So I'm going to be presenting the results of a new measure of sexual relationship power that I developed for the Malawi context last summer. And Malawi is a high HIV prevalence country in sub-Saharan Africa. So I hope that you'll leave with an understanding of the importance of these measures that we're basing our programs on and how to adapt them to dramatically different settings with various behavioral, cultural, and social contexts. I have no relationships to disclose. So as most of you are probably aware, the percentage of adults living with HIV who are female has been rising since 1990 in virtually all settings around the world. If you look at the top black line, which is sub-Saharan Africa, in 2007, women made up around 60% of all HIV infections in this region, which also is the highest percentage of all the regions listed on this figure. And so I don't wish to draw attention away from the fact that men are also extremely vulnerable to HIV infection, especially in really poor rural settings such as those in Malawi, and continue to be infected at unacceptable rates. So, as Debbie kind of talked about, there's a vast set of literature on citing gender inequality and power imbalances as key factors involved in the spread of HIV in sub-Saharan Africa. And unfortunately, most of the research has focused on women. Many studies from Southern Africa demonstrate that relationship power imbalances are associated with an extensive list of risk factors for HIV, including less condom use, more sexually transmitted infections, increased number of sexual partners, more frequent sex, et cetera, et cetera. And so the balance of power in sexual relationships is linked to health through three main pathways. The first is directly through the ability of partners to acquire information, make decisions, and take action to protect their health, for example, by using condoms with their partners. Indirectly, through its association with violence between partners. So women who may fear abuse from their partners may be less likely to bring up condoms. And then finally, through its influence on the use of health services, such as HIV testing. And some studies show that women who will refuse testing if they don't have their partner's permission to be tested. And this is an area that I hope to build upon for my dissertation, looking at the intersection of power imbalances in HIV testing services. So in much of sub-Saharan Africa, including Malawi, women generally tend to have less power in their relationships and in society as compared to men. And some research on decision-making power within married couples in Malawi shows that husbands tend to dominate decision-making related to money and sex, whereas wives had more control over domestic tasks and childbearing decisions. So this illustrates that power is not absolute and that men and women have power within these different domains. However, when we're talking about HIV infection, women's control over domestic tests and childbearing aren't as important. If we were talking about child nutrition or breastfeeding, perhaps this would be more meaningful. And while the majority of the literature suggests that women are able, that have less power in their relationships, there's some evidence from the sociological literature that suggests that women are actually able to invoke some strategies to protect themselves, such as confronting their partners directly about their extramarital affairs, invoking their marriage counselors, or inkoshwe is what they're called in Malawi, to get their help to change their husband's behaviors, going directly to his mistress, and actually in the interviews I conducted, threatening to beat her up perhaps, whatever it takes, and also simply leaving the relationship. So one of the challenges in understanding power in sexual relationships is that power is a very nuanced and complicated construct that varies over time and also by space. And so power's been conceptualized in many different ways. The feminist literature provides the distinction between power to versus power over. Others have talked about the difference between relative power versus absolute power, in suggesting that perhaps the relative power of each member of the couple may be more meaningful than the absolute power of either member. In 2000, Pulowitz and colleagues kind of made a breakthrough in this field of measuring power by developing the sexual relationship power scale. And so the scale was developed among Latina women in the US, and their factor analysis revealed two domains of power: relationship control and decision-making dominance. However, their scale did not include men into the measure, so we can only use it to study female power. Others have adapted the scale to African settings, such as Zimbabwe and South Africa. However, it's my opinion that that regional differences within the same setting make it difficult to apply one construct of power to another. For example, in South Africa, you see some of the highest rates of violence and rape against women, and Malawi is a relatively peaceful country. So it's difficult to take one construct and just simply apply it to another setting that may border that country. And so the objective of this study was to develop, test, and evaluate a new measure of sexual relationship power for the Malawi context so that we can better understand how power influences health in this setting. And so I draw upon several theories. For one, the theory of gender and power, which proposes that there's these three social structures that influence the behavior of men and women: the sexual division of labor, the sexual division of power, and then social norms and affective attachments, such as the association of condoms with promiscuity or extramarital sex. I also draw from the social exchange theory, which proposes that greater power is related to who has more control over decision making, who is less dependent upon the other partner, who has more resources, both financial and emotional, and then the perceived alternatives to the relationship. However, I think power doesn't always have to be thought of in this kind of negative way. I think power can be just as much about the ability to communicate with one's partner as well as the level of love and trust in the relationship. And so some studies by David Jordan Smith in Nigeria show that women who love their partners more or express more love towards their partners may be less likely to use condoms, because this kind of violates the very thing they're trying to achieve. And so I wanted to look at a combination of all these factors. So the study was conducted in the rural southern Balaka district of Malawi, as indicated by the arrow and the figure. And the southern region is different from the north in several important ways. One is that it has primarily a matrilineal or local orientation, where men actually move in with their wives' families, as opposed to the patrilineal north. And so theoretically, women, you would think, would have more control over their relationships because they own the land, and the land that they live on and cultivate, and could theoretically tell their partners to go back to their home villages if they were having extramarital affairs. The southern region is also different because the overall HIV prevalence rate in Malawi among adults is around 12%. In the southern region, we see estimates as high as 18%. And so I sampled from three geographical areas around the Balaka district. The first was the villages surrounding the Balaka town. I also sampled from a more obscure trading center village, and then finally some more isolated rural villages, in order to kind of capture a more diverse set of experiences around power. So the study used a sequential mixed methods design consisting of two phases. In the qualitative phase, I conducted semi-structured interviews with couples in order to kind of understand power and conceptualize it, and then to kind of develop an initial set of scale items. In the quantitative phase, I pilot tested the initial set of scale items and then evaluated the scale. And so today's results are just going to focus on the quantitative. So in the qualitative phase, I recruited a random sample of women and their partners using a household listing of the entire Balaka district and used the three geographical regions as strata. And so women were between the ages of 18 and 25 and were either married or had some other form of stable sexual partner. Then I conducted semi-structured interviews simultaneously but separately using two Malawian research assistants with 17 coupled men and women. And so we would recruit the women and then enroll her partner and conduct the interviews at the same time, but in separate locations so they couldn't talk to each other in between and perhaps bias the results. And the interviews elicited questions related to the theoretical constructs that I already described, so decision-making, communication, love and trust, et cetera. Then I analyzed the qualitative data to create an initial set of scale items. And finally, once I had that initial set, I conducted cognitive interviews with a small convenience sample just to make sure that people were interpreting the questions as I expected that they were. In the quantitative phase, I recruited it's actually a systematic sample as opposed to a convenience sample, of 254 men and women aged 18 to 45 from the same target villages I already talked about, who were either married or had a stable sexual partner. We conducted a pilot survey which consisted of three sections: demographics, the power scale items, and then several validation variables that are theoretically associated with power. Then I performed an exploratory factor analysis with oblique rotation to group items to finalize the scale, and then performed Cruzec non-parametric tests for trends between three levels of power, low, medium, and high, and the validation variables, so condom use, forced sex, physical abuse, marital status, education, relationship duration, and age. So the scale items were scored according to a 4-point Likert scale ranging from 1 to 4. I used a combination of positive and negatively worded items and then just reverse scored the positively worded items. And the factor analysis left 16 scale items which were divided into 4 domains that I labeled dependence, communication, love and trust, and relationship dominance. And the overall scale in the 4 subscales showed moderate internal consistency and reliability with an alpha of around 0.6. So this slide shows the final power scale for Malawi. I'm not going to read every item to you, but I just want to give you an example of an item under each subscale. So under dependence, number 1, we have, under no circumstances would I ever leave my partner. Under communication, we have, my partner and I sit down and discuss important matters together. Under love and trust, when I need my partner's assistance, he or she is always there to help me. And interestingly, in the qualitative interviews, when people talked about love, they often talked about the sexual division of labor. And they talked about what their partner helped them with, whether it be finances or material needs or anything like that. And then finally, under relationship dominance, my partner punishes me when he or she is really angry with me. This table presents the basic descriptive statistics on the pilot survey sample. So it was split between men and women, 50-50. The mean age of the overall sample was around 29 years. Men were on average 3 years older than women. The majority of the population had a primary school education or less of around 69.3%. Majority were married, of around 85.4%. Women were slightly more likely to be married. And 68.5% resided around the immediate town center. And finally, the mean relationship duration in years was around 8.6 years. So condom use was assessed with the question, have you ever used a condom with your partner? If so, how often did you use a condom? And so other surveys have used more discrete measures of condoms, such as condom use in the past 3 months or whatever. But in Malawi, condom use is relatively low, especially within married couples. And so I wanted a more discrete measure. And so you can see that if you look on the right side of the figure, the majority of respondents, 79.2%, said that they use condoms either never or sporadically. Forced sex was ascertained with the question, has your partner ever forced you to have sex when you didn't want to? And this was taken from the Pooleritz survey. And on the right side of the figure, you can see that around 71% said they have never been forced to have sex. And unsurprisingly, women reported slightly more forced sex than men. Physical abuse was ascertained with the question, has your partner ever hurt you by hitting, kicking, or punching you? The majority said they had not experienced physical abuse, of around 85%. And interestingly, men reported slightly more physical abuse than women, 15.8% compared to 14.2%. And this is something...
Also, the exercise violence toward one's partner, or just receiving?
just receiving. Yeah. So this is something I'm curious about and I want to follow up with when I go back to Malawi. This figure presents the mean factor scores by gender in the subscales. So the mean factor scores ranged from 1 to 4 based on the Likert scale. And so for dependence and relationship dominance, if you look at the bottom, you can see that lower numbers indicate more agreement, but with communication and love and trust, higher numbers indicate more agreement. So I just want to focus on the differences between men and women. If you look at dependence, you can see that men reported more disagreement with dependence as compared to women, which makes sense. For communication, women reported higher levels of agreement with communication as compared to men. For love and trust, men reported higher levels of love and trust as compared to women. And then with relationship dominance, women reported more agreement with, more disagreement with relationship dominance as compared to men. And this figure presents the bivariate results of the construct validity test, where I looked at the overall scale trichotomized into low, medium, and high, and then the subscales. Yes. Okay. And I compared it. I looked at the relationships between these variables. So if you look at the first line, the overall power scale, it was in the orange highlights the statistically significant findings. So the overall scale was associated with higher condom use and higher education. If we look just at condom use was associated with the dependent subscale, communication, and love and trust. Physical abuse was associated with communication and relationship dominance. And then I didn't see any significant associations between forced sex and any of the subscales. So just to summarize the quantitative findings, so women reported that they were more dependent upon the relationship, less likely to have feelings of love and trust, more likely to experience domination as compared to men, which is consistent with the larger body of literature. However, women reported more communication with their partners as compared to men, and I thought this was an interesting finding. And also in the qualitative interviews, the women were very strategic in the way that they talked to their partners about their extramarital affairs or their concerns with HIV, and they used very subtle and gendered strategies to get their partners to change their behavior. And so communication may be an important area of intervention for women. And then finally, we found significant correlations between relationship power and the risk behaviors, indicating that this construct is measuring what we think it's measuring. So the scale is actually the first scale to include both men and women into a formal measure of power. Frequently in sexual and reproductive health research, men are given inadequate attention and often ignored altogether, despite the fact that sexual behavior occurs within the dyad, and not just sexual behavior, but other health decisions as well. However, more research is needed to confirm the scale reliability using a larger sample with a more diverse set of power experiences. And finally, this study was conducted in the southern matrilineal area of Malawi, which may differ dramatically from the north, and so we may have some limited generalizability. And finally, I think the scale shows some promising utility to study risk behavior around HIV/AIDS. In addition, information gained through better understandings of couple dynamics will build the evidence base for more couple-based interventions, which are currently lacking in Malawi, but do show some promise. And then finally, I think the scale provides an opportunity to evaluate public health approaches aimed at improving gender relations in couples. And I just want to thank my mentors, Sarah Yateman and Sheena Bull, as well as my funders.